glory. He's the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. And he's not a thing. He's Lord, sovereign. But I'm telling you, 32 plus years ago, February 26, 1984, best decision I ever made in my life. Hallelujah. After 32 years of walking with God, not the least bit tired or worn out. You know, you hear believers say, you know, you get burnout. How are you going to get burnout when Jesus is burning on the inside of you? I mean, you got the Holy Ghost keeping you, sustaining you. Hallelujah. You may go through stuff, but, oh, he just becomes greater, stronger, you know, more reliable. The reality of his presence with you. I mean, it's just an awesome walk and experience that we have with the Lord. I want to share something with you from the Word of God. I basically preached most of it, but if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to look at Exodus 23, and we're going to look at Leviticus 23, and then we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 16, and we're going to try and do that within the time frame that we have left. I'm going to try and get you out of here in 28 minutes or less. It's not that we're in bondage to time. However, I just want to let you go and celebrate and then come back and meet us here at the altar tonight at 6 p.m. as we come together and seek the face of God. A church that doesn't pray is a church that's not going to accomplish very much. You may have the numbers, but as far as Satan's kingdom, he could care less about numbers as long as he has the sway and influence on the people's lives once they leave the building. And none of us as a local assembly are exempt from attacks of the enemy. Neither are we exempt from, I'll just say it like this, weak Christians who are weak in their walk. We don't try and condemn people for their lack of strength and power. We do try and encourage them in their walk with God. We do all the best that we can in praying for you, and also just trying to be there with you to give you that extra oomph and that boost that you need to step it up in the things of God, because the hour is late and so many things are happening in the world. And at this time, we really need some strong Christians that are on the scene. Hallelujah. Living and expressing the glory and the goodness of God to all of those that they are around. Exodus chapter 23. As I said earlier, this is all about celebrating the feast of tabernacles, and we're going to look at a few passages of the scripture, and then we'll expound on it. So we're going to get a little bit of reading in here today. Amen? All right, are you at Exodus 23? And they help you out? No, they didn't help you out today. You're on your own. You better have your Bible with you. The guys back there in AV say you're on your own today. Exodus 23. 23 verse 14. Three times. Somebody say three times. See, it's in the Bible. We're not just saying stuff, but we quote what's in the Bible to the best of our ability. And the word says, three times shalt thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Now, this is God speaking. He's speaking to Moses and to the children of Israel. And he's laying out to them, as he has already delivered them from Pharaoh's hands. They've come out with a mighty arm, mighty hand, and an outstretched arm to deliver them from 400 plus years of bondage, slavery, being abused. You know, being a child of God doesn't mean that everything is going to go your way all the time. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're not going to go through things. You are going to go through things. I was listening to a lady who's no longer on this earth. She's died and gone on. I don't know her state and condition, but she was one of the great women in history. Her name was Margaret Thatcher. Many of you probably know of her. It's not a sermon about her, but it's just some of the things about her characteristics, her traits. And one of the things she said is that people, did I bring myself? Yes, I did. I want to quote it verbatim. She says, What am I bound to be feeling? People don't think anymore. They feel. How are you feeling? No, I don't feel comfortable. I'm sorry. We as a group, we're feeling. One of the great problems of our age is that we are governed by people who care more about feelings than they do about thoughts and ideas. Thoughts and ideas that interest me. Ask me what I'm thinking. It's a profound statement. She made many other famous quotes that really stand true. And she was speaking of a time that was back in the 70s, early 80s, when she and another great individual by the name of Ronald Reagan, whether you agree with him or not, he was a great president, strong president. They, you know, kind of like complimented each other. She was over Great Britain, he over the United States of America. And they worked together in bringing down, what was it, the wall, Berlin Wall. They worked together in causing Russia to open up its doors. She led the fight in the battle for the Falkland Islands. And, you know, they had to make some very difficult decisions of their day. One of the candidates, I believe, is trying to channel her because of the way she wore her hair, the way she carried herself and all. But she was a very strong individual and led her nation through some difficult times. And they were better off than when she started. But as it goes, sometimes you always have somebody that wants to rise up against you and move you out of power because they think that you're outdated, obsolete, you're no longer relative or relevant with what's going on in society. But one of the things she brought out was people are more governed by their feelings. It's all about how we feel now. And, you know, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, you can't just go by feelings. God didn't require us to live by feelings. Well, I don't feel well. Well, I don't feel like that's the right thing to do. Well, I feel like this way. I feel. And it's more about feelings than it is about faith. It's more about feelings than it is about what's right. Just because a person feels a certain way, you don't bend the rules or the principles to the feelings. You keep the principles, the standards up there and train those feelings to line up with the standards. You don't lower the bar for people. And this is what is happening now. They want to lower standards in education, standards in job requirements, standards in just things in everyday life, standards. They want to lower it in order to make exception. And the thing of it is that it's not about exception. There's a reason why you have standards. There's a reason why God didn't lower his standards in order to meet mankind. Man could never measure up to God's standard, and so God took on the form of flesh, and yes, in that way he showed humility and came down here, but he didn't just leave it there. Where is Jesus at right now? Where is he? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he ever lives to make intercessions for us, and he still expects us as the people of God to live as he lived, walk as he walked, speak as he spoke, do the works that he did. Did he not say, the works that I do shall you do, yea, even greater, because I go to my Father. He said, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Beloved, be honest. Right now, if you look at the church as a whole, it would appear, and as the state and condition of the world, it would appear as if the gates of hell are prevailing against the church. The reason society is so messed up, and one of the things that she said is she doesn't believe in society, Margaret Thatcher. She said, I don't believe in society. I believe in people. I believe in men, I believe in women, I believe in families. I don't believe in society. That one will take you a little while to chew on because we're so used to society, this society, this community, that. We are people, we are individuals. We're made in the image and likeness of God. We weren't sent here in order to be servants, if you will. We were sent here to reign. The grace of God that he has given unto us is to help us to reign in who we are in Christ Jesus. To try and put our sinful state in the position of our state of righteousness would be a tragedy for us and an affront to the God that we love and serve. You understand what I mean by that? In other words, God has called us to a standard of living as sons and daughters of the Most High God. He's already declared how we're supposed to live and the quality and state of which we are to live. He's called us to be blessed, so to go around being cursed is not a representation of who we are in Christ Jesus. He says, I'll give you all things richly to enjoy. And if we're walking around in poverty thinking that that's our equation to being in right standing with God, we are mistaken. God said to the children of Israel, and I shall make you the head and not the tail, and I shall make you above only and not beneath. But if we're walking around like the tail, slapped all over the place, rather than being the head, see, you understand why I'm saying, especially to this young generation, no, you engage in politics. You go and get that education. Don't be no dummy. Go and get the education. Just don't abandon the one who's given you the ability to get the education and also gave you eternal life. Don't abandon the one who gave his life for you. Don't abandon the one who's watching over you. Don't abandon the one who's taking care of you. Don't abandon the one who has everything in the palm of his hands. And one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Don't walk away from him trying to think that you did it yourself in your own strength, in your own might, in your own power. Don't let pride fill your heart and make you get in wrong position and wrong standing with the one true and living God. All that you have, you give glory to God for. You were nothing before you came to him. Naked you came into the world, naked you'll go out. It's only your works that you do for him that will follow you on into glory. So don't turn your back on him. Don't get bitter with life and then take it out on God. Because something happened to you. Something tragic went on in your life. Something hit you and you just, oh, why did God let this happen to me? Why did God let this happen to me? What? You got to live by faith. You got to understand that if it happened to you, God, first of all, entrusted you and knew that in you was something greater than what you were about to go through. It had to go through him before it got to you. And he would not let it come on you if he thought it was able to wipe you out. So buck up. I don't know if that's even the right saying. You know, get back in the saddle. Ride with Jesus. Stop going around him miserable. How long are you going to be miserable? Misery is not good company. The greater one is on the inside of you. You can't control what people do, but you can certainly do something about how you respond or how you react or the way you're going to carry and conduct yourself as a child of God. They can call you the worst names in all the world, and you still walk around like a king and a queen because you are a king and priest unto your heavenly Father. No matter what they say against you, it does not overtake, overthrow, or wipe out what God has said concerning you. You're still blessed. Hallelujah. I've lost everything. You're still blessed. Praise God. You still got your life, and what you lost, God is able to restore. And if the thief be found, he's got to get back seven times more than what he took. That's the power of the gospel. It's the word of the living God. It's for each and every one of us. And so we're walking around by feelings. You hurt my feelings. Did Jesus hurt your feelings? No. But you let some man hurt your feelings, and all of a sudden he sucked the life out of you. It shows you had more allegiance to that man than you did to Jesus. Well, you don't understand. And you need to have, you know, you need to be sorry for me. I ain't getting in that sorry pool with you. That's a no. Mm-mm. You don't need somebody to get in that pool with you. You need somebody to reach a hand out and pull you out of that mess so you can go on and enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living and recover what was taken away from you. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you don't need no positive message. The gospel itself is positive. Hallelujah. We don't need to read no other books but the book, the Word of the Living God. There's 66 books in there for all of us to read and enjoy. I was telling Pastor Lucia just yesterday, the greatest book on revival is the book of Acts. There's no greater book than the book of Acts concerning revival. You find a greater book than that, I'm telling you, you found something else that's more anointed, more canonized than the scriptures themselves. I read this book and this is what they did. Read the book of Acts and see what they did. Daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to preach Jesus. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread and fellowship and in prayers. And the Lord added to them daily, because everywhere they went, they preached the gospel. They were persecuted. They got right back up and preached the gospel. They were thrown in prison. They got right back out of the prison and preached the gospel. They went about doing miracles all over the place. It wasn't just Peter. It wasn't just John. It wasn't just Matthew. It was Philip. It was Stephen. It was the saints of God. Everywhere that they were scattered, they were like rivers in the desert. Everywhere that they went, they preached the word. This is why we're so messed up, because we don't want to do God's will. See, your joy is not in your circumstances and situations. Your joy is in the Lord and doing his will. This is why situations and circumstances can wipe you out so easy, because you're not rooted and grounded and established in the faith. And I'm not saying this to just be mean to you. I'm saying this to shake you into reality for some of you. Because some of you got it and you're running with it, and keep on running with it and release it to others that they may run with it. But some just don't want to. I can understand that. Who wants to be miserable for the rest of their lives? What in the world are we coming to if all we can come to Jesus and be miserable? You need to hate misery. Hate misery. Love the person, but hate misery. And then love them enough to speak the truth to them in love so that they can receive. You look sharp today. You look like a young Deacon Posada. And Lauren may be on her way for you too. Praise God. All he did was stay faithful in the house, stayed accountable to his man and woman of God. If they told him don't do it, he wouldn't do it. If they said do it, he would do it. I watched him progress in his relationship with Lauren. Deacon Posada, what do you think about Sister Lauren? Well, Apostle, I look at her, she's just like a younger sister. You know, like my younger sister, Stephanie. You know, she's just a younger sister. Okay, a few months ago, Deacon Posada, what is he thinking about Sister Lauren? Well, excuse me. Well, Apostle, it wasn't an apostle at that time. Well, Pastor, you know, I just think that, you know, she's a good sister in the Lord, like fellowshipping with her. She's a good sister in the Lord. Then they went down to Jesus culture and came back. Deacon Posada, what do you think about? Said, well, Apostle, I think things, no, Pastor, things have changed, you know, and I think she's the one. I think she's the one. It grew. It grew. It grew in the household of faith. Hallelujah. So I don't know, maybe that's for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just remain faithful in the house. Glory. He went from Safeways. Where is he at? He's standing back there. Deacon Posada, I'm not trying to put you on blast, but this is going to help me preach this sermon today, and then I got to stop in 10 minutes. Deacon Posada, when you came to, it was at that time, Shiloh, did you know how to balance your checkbook? You didn't? Lost and ignorant? Who taught you? Where? Who taught you, Deacon Posada? You think I had the time to teach you how to balance a checkbook? It's all about the kingdom, man. Taught him how to balance a checkbook. Y'all could do things like that? Yeah, we can do things like that. That's not the priority. That's not the focus. The focus is on the kingdom. But see, we're not ignorant. So go on out there and get that education. Amen. And let it be sanctified by the Lord so that he can put you in a good place, in a good position of power and authority so that you can speak and you can speak on God's behalf and glorify him. Amen. We need some city councilmen. I hope you who are in Pittsburgh, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You know, these people, they're so wicked and corrupt. If you say what they want you to say, they'll leave you alone. If you say what they don't want you to say, that's when they'll come at you. Y'all need to vote. If you live in Pittsburgh, you need to vote for Preacher Man. And you need to tell your neighbors and everyone around to vote for Preacher Man. See, they get upset with him because of his stand for Christ. And at that last fundraiser he had, he asked me to come up because he knows I ain't got much else to say, but here I go. He asked me to come up and I shared. It got him in trouble. You know, there was a rebuff. I think that's the right word to use. Because the person felt like they were set up. I'm like, set up? There was nothing negative that was spoken. I let them know what made him him. And the people that are connected with him. This is why this is the man of the hour. He was made for this. I'm not lying. He was actually made for this moment. If they pass it up, you know, shame on them. But he was made for this moment. How do you know? Preacher man, where do you work at? City of Oakland. At the city. City hall. Government building. You're around with those who are elected officials and those who work in government. What did you major in your master's? Public management and policy. And so you know about budgeting. And what did you go to school for? Before the master's. Business administration. He was made for it. He's got a B.A. in business administration or B.S. science. He's got a master's in public administration. He works for the city of Oakland, and he's running for city council in Pittsburgh. Oakland is much bigger than, now mind you, he was born over there in Oakland. But he lives in Pittsburgh. He was made for this position. And others in this place, God wants to use you for a greater purpose than what you have limited yourself to. We ain't got time to sit around and feel sorry for ourselves. There's too much work to be done. You see, anybody paying attention to the elections, you ought to, just for the sake of watching, to see the circus going on. See how messed up it is. And the reason it's so messed up is because the church is not engaged. They have no wisdom, no knowledge, no understanding. They lie. They use the church to get votes. But when it comes to the church speaking with their voice, oh, separation of church and state, separation of church and state, separation of church and state. That is a lie of the devil. Do you dare think God, who established government, is all of a sudden going to exclude himself from government? Read Romans chapter 13. How you doing there, Brother Roman? Read Romans chapter 13. See what it says about government. Government is of God. This is why many of the state buildings, they have Moses across there on their, you know, now they wish we didn't have that. We got to get rid of that, those landmarks, because we got to wipe, they want to wipe God, they want to wipe everything out that represents God. And here we are as a church of the living God, tripping over ourselves, feeling sorry for ourselves, because things aren't going our way. Woe is me. Woe is me. My husband stepped on my big toe, so I'm mad at him. My wife, she didn't cook me dinner, so I'm mad at her. And the kids are acting crazy, so I'm mad at them. And the boss offended me, yelled at me, so I'm mad at them. And just mad at everybody. You even got the children that are mad. The children are mad about stuff they don't even know that they're mad about. They're just angry. They feel like they're in a war zone out there. Going to school is a war zone because they might get shot. They may not make it to 25 years of age. The mindset and mentality. All of this, it just declares that, where is God? Where is God in all of this? The church is a mess. We live worse than the world. How is it? When the world sins, it's expected. Because they're given over to the sinful nature. But when the church of the living God sins, it is high crime and high treason. Because the greater one is supposed to live on the inside of us, who's supposed to be working with us and through us, the one in whom we're supposed to be yielding to, as Paul said, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And yet we live a weak Christian lifestyle. We don't want anybody to correct us. We don't want anybody to say anything bad about us. Don't hurt my feelings. You hurt my feelings, I ain't coming back no more. I'll go down the street, and they hurt my feelings, I'll go. And, you know, you got all... I remember years ago when Pastor Lucille was talking about, you know, people have been hurting the church. People have been hurting the church. And see, when you're a pastor and you hear those statements, it's like, you know, oh, okay, that's like hitting me. What do I mean by that? Because when you pastor a church and people get hurt in the church and then they move on, you know, you should in your right mind. You should, Lord, did I do anything wrong? Don't ever be afraid to go before the Father and say, Lord, was it me? Did I do something wrong? Don't ever be afraid to do that because he already knows. The word of God says if we cover our sins, we won't prosper. So if there's some sin in me, Lord, point it out. Let me know. If I did something wrong unknowingly or unintentionally, Father, let me know. Forgive me if I did. But give me a clean slate so I can keep on going. But so many have been hurt by the church. Well, the church is supposed to be the safe place that you can go to and fellowship and worship God and just, you know, build and edify the body of Christ and then go on. But see, when you have people that don't want to be transformed, they don't want to renew their minds, they still want to be governed by their feelings and their emotions, they don't want anybody to say anything to them about the way they live their lives, even if it is contrary to the word of God, you're going to have all kind of problems. You'll have a church that's full of carnal Christians, Christians that refuse to grow up. And then to go and tell them face to face that they're immature, that's an insult. I'm offended. And you may not see them for a few weeks. You may not see them again. And then you can be the kindest to the person and just bless them and bless them, and then they turn on you, say all manner of evil stuff about you, and it's like, man, this is supposed to be the church. So we're still governed by our feelings rather than governed by the word of the living God, which is truth. Hallelujah. Truth that does not change. Truth. Truth. Truth that sets men free. Truth. Truth. Speak the truth in love to the people that the body can grow up for the glory of God. So Margaret said, it's 12:30 and you have to stop. No, I'm not channeling for Margaret. I was going to repeat what she said. People are more governed by their feelings. And she was like this. Now, mind you, she was the only woman in the House of Parliament surrounded by all of these men, and she was a conservative. She was not a liberal. She was like this. If a person don't want to work, it's like something's wrong with them. To sit back and wait for somebody to come and give you something when you have the ability to go and work yourself, something's wrong with that situation. I have a problem with that. You were created to work. Hallelujah. Okay. If I say part two, by next week, the Holy Ghost will give something else. So just enjoy what you got. Amen. Stand on your feet and give the Lord a hand of praise. I hate to stop like that, but if I keep going, it'll be quarter till, and then it'll be 1 o'clock, and then you'll be like, oh, it's good, but I'm tired. I feel tired. And I just told you about feelings. Don't govern yourself by feelings. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. divorce your feelings. Issue them a decree of divorce. I divorce you. I will only use you as it causes me to please and glorify God. Other than that, I will not give over to you because you are deceptive and you will get me in trouble. Master, we thank you. Is there anyone here who is in need of prayer? If you are, you can come to the altar right now. Anyone under the sound of my voice who has never received Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, or you're in a backslidden state and you know that you need to get right with God, we want to give you the opportunity. We're not going to try and make a mockery of you. We're not going to try and embarrass you or anything like that. But, you know, if you ain't right with God, get right with God. That's the best thing you got going for you. Praise God. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. Joseph? Can I pray for you? Praise God. What's your name? Jesus? Richard D. Jesus? No? Where did I get Jesus from? That's yours. See, I wasn't out on a... Oropesa? Oropesa. Orale. It's been a long time. I'm rusty at that, so don't pay me no attention. Praise God. Hallelujah. Saints of God, just begin to pray for these who are here at the altar. If there's anyone else, just because they didn't call you out, you can still come forward. Praise God. Oh, Lord, give us new hearts, new minds.